Sam, how are you, my man?
I'm alive and well.
Alive and well. Sammy Moe, Sam Merrill, a couple other nicknames I'm not allowed to say on the podcast here. Do you have any other nicknames for now?
Nothing that's like you said, available for the podcast. Yeah. We gotta keep it PG here.
It's a family-friendly pod. We're tracking well on the kids section of iTunes. Danford Jacob here. You checking in. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. Long day.
Long day. Beautiful morning, though. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful morning. Yeah, good morning here on the pod with you guys.
It's cold. Why is it still cold?
It's freezing. I learned a little meteorology fact from my friend Brendan Brady on Twitter yesterday. I think you guys are familiar with that website. And he said when there's a warm front with a lot of wind, you know, a storm is coming. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. I actually just learned that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're welcome. This is an educational podcast. We're family friendly as well as educating, so no more sports. So I guess we should have been expecting this. I feel like an idiot, but I read like 18 tweets this morning before I got out of bed, because that's kind of my daily routine, about the snow actually happening, and I still don't believe anyone on there. It's like they're all like, this isn't real, until I got in my car.
Wait, like how much snow was down there?
Dog, we had inches, man. We had like 5-6 inches.
We didn't. It's gone. Like we
ours was gone this morning.
Well, ours is gone too, but like it was there. Like I had to brush off my car.
We didn't really have that much. That's like the first time ever we didn't get dumped on.
Huh.
Someone else did.
Was not happy about that. Well, Salt Lake, you got to come. We got skiing all year round.
Here we go.
Well, hey, awesome. Good morning. Welcome to Big Baller Brunch. It's 10 p.m. on Tuesday. I got Sam Merrill, Sammy Moe on the line, and Danford Jacob, the regular co-host, DJ King Deej. Have we got another nickname you want to work with yet?
I like King Deej, but I don't want to steal that from LeBron James. What about what about?
I don't think we'll get sued.
What about DJ the Duke? Then just call me Double D.
Yeah.
The Dukes are still kind of royalty.
Yeah, they are. They're like a lower – they're like a little bit down. But if you are worried about LeBron getting mad at you, then you definitely want to like put a step down.
No, I'm not. There's only one king in my lifetime.
And are you sure you want to get called Double D?
Yes. Pun intended.
Yeah. Perfect. There's a reason for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, Double D, what's up? Welcome to church.
I like dribble drives. Dribble drives are my favorite.
Exactly. That's why. He's Samuel Merrill.
Come on, Sam.
Sam, do you have a middle name?
I'm just trying to protect the people. I do, actually.
Can we break it for the pod? Breaking news.
Breaking news. My middle name is Hoskins.
Oh, really?
That's a strong middle name, buddy.
It is.
I feel like I know someone. Is that a family name?
Yeah, it's my mom's maiden name.
Oh, okay. So you come from the Hoskins line.
Exactly.
Yes, that's the Wasatch Front.
I was going to say, that's a known, well-known family.
Yeah. They're not the Eccles, but, you know, they're around.
No Huntsman. You got the H, though.
I'm not talking any Romneys here, that's for sure. But hey, awesome. Thank you. Good morning for jumping on. Today we're doing a quick playoff recap. One of our favorite segments that we decided to debut today called Marinated Takes.
Ooh,
that's a good one, right? You know, we all love steak. So before the series in the playoffs, you definitely have an opinion of where things are going. You have an idea. And we make predictions. But after a couple games, things start to change, especially with a couple of series. So you let the takes marinate. You let them sit there, put little juices on there. And when they come out, they're a little bit better, a little bit, you know, a little more, just more robust, I guess, more flavor. Because you can't just throw a dry steak on the grill. I mean, I know Sam does, but GJ, you don't do that.
No, bro. Come on.
No, of course not. What's your favorite marinade?
I don't know if it's Famous Dave's. It's just some steak seasoning. I don't know. I get it from Smith's or something like that.
All right.
It's just steak seasoning. I don't know. I like Worcestershire sauce.
Western Family or something. Yeah, we're sponsored by Western Family today. Get all your knockoffs.
Get all the knockoff brands that you want. They taste just about the same. Your kids won't be able to tell.
Hey, I actually learned a fact about knockoffs once.
Okay. Keep educating. Yeah.
So when you see a knockoff brand, turns out that brand comes from where the
I knew that.
Real brand is, but they take all the crappy – let's say it's cereal. They take all the crappy cereal bites and put them in the Western Family bag.
Really?
So it's basically the same thing, just not very good.
You got a source for that? I'd like to read more.
So we were doing a marketing project at a grocery store, and the guy that was – what do you call the guy that replaces the cereal
cereal replacer.
Exactly. Yeah, he told us.
Yeah, I've seen that on LinkedIn. Yeah.
It's a very credible source.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I believe it, but I don't know.
That's hard for me to stomach because have you guys ever had, like, the Fruity Pebbles from the Western Family ones?
No, I hold myself to a higher standard.
Those ones are so good, though. Like, they're almost better than the regular Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
The ones that come in the Ziploc bags?
Well, okay, Malt-O-Meal. Malt-O-Meal is not Western
Pebbles. Oh, is that Malt-O-Meal?
Yeah. Malt-O-Meal is top notch. No, Malt-O-Meal is almost better. Malt-O-Meal, bro. Yeah. Malt-O-Meal is like the only thing that's allowable. But like other stuff, I can kind of tell. But Malt-O-Meal cereal, that's in the clear.
I see. Okay.
They're leftovers. I think they're probably like the real stuff.
Malt-O-Meal?
Yeah, I think they make their own. Like, I think that they have their own plant.
Delicious. That
I stuff think they have a plant. Yeah, like they just tea, right?
They just steal the ingredients and then add a little flair to it.
Okay, well, all great artists copy, so that's fine. Now, maybe that could be like a new segment. We call it new news. Like, if you learned a new fact, you could just share it with the pod.
Dude, you know what we need to do though, Blake, and we won't reveal too much of pods coming out, but we really need to do the what athletes really mean, because we're getting a lot of FaceTime with the athletes right now, the interviews.
Yeah, that was
we
my
really
goal.
Need to do that.
Yeah, we do. Well, I kind of wanted to get Sam on the podcast, and then we don't even talk about him. I think that'd be like a good introduction, you know?
Yeah. Remember the forgotten episodes? This that could be one that we chalked it up to. This Sam one.
I feel very appreciated.
Sam, we only want your takes. We don't want your talent. All right.
Sounds great.
But let's get to your talent. Let's start moving here. What series, Sam? What series do you want to talk about first? In the National Basketball Association.
Well, I think every single person was wrong about the Spurs and the Warriors.
Oh, that sounds hot. That sounds piping hot. Keep it going.
Yeah, what is this?
Well, I was listening to your guys' podcast from last week, and all three of you were like, well, yeah, I think this series can go to 6 or 7. And
okay,
right now it's not looking like that. I mean, we obviously see that the Warriors, even without Steph, have another level. And the Spurs, I mean, it's crazy how different our perspectives change during the playoffs. Throughout the regular season, we're like, okay, this Spurs team is finding a way, and they got a little bit of talent, and they're finding a way, and now we're looking at them and we're like, these guys can't score, they have no talent, they have no chance in this series. So the Warriors proved us wrong again.
Well, first off, thank you for endorsing the product. You said you're a listener, active listener, that's good. Sam Merrill is an endorsement. The NCAA might have problems with that. But thank you for that. But, yeah, I thought they'd compete. I don't know. I thought Pop Magic would be something.
Yeah. You're right, Sam. But
as always.
Yeah.
Per usual.
I think any hope that I had for the Spurs was, I don't know, the fact that maybe Kawhi would show up, like even be there on the bench. I don't know. Right now, Pop is so, like, listening to him on when they do the mic'd up thing with him, he's so positive right now, it's almost creepy. Like, he knows they have no chance, so he's just, like, so, like, happy-go-lucky. You know what I mean?
And well, kind of. He got mad at that reporter the first game.
Well, that's reporters are different. I'm talking about with his team.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he's like super supportive, almost as like, I mean, we all played Little League sports, like, when your coach knows you're just going to get whooped. And they're just like, hey, good job, guys. Like, that's what I feel like. But you're right, Sam. It's just they jog during the regular season, and they kind of pick it up to a light run in the first round. The Warriors do. It's scary what they do.
I don't know if the Warriors were jogging, man. That looks like me when I'm forced to do, like, a one-mile fun run on Thanksgiving the whole season. That was not a jog. That was – they lost by, what, 40 to the Jazz?
Hey, Jazz are playing.
Yeah, that was a great game.
I mean, it was I was bored by second quarter, man.
Yeah,
I was picking up KD's alts and talking for him on Twitter.
No, but I like that take, Sam. I think you're right. I think it's the Warriors still are the bosses. They don't.
Yeah, and they don't even have Steph back.
Yeah, scary
that's
thought.
That's a take we'll let marinate. We were wrong, but now it's a juicier take.
Yeah, better flavor.
Better flavor. Papa John's. All right, DJ, pick a series. Where are we moving to now?
Let's talk about. I want to save the Portland and New Orleans one.
I do too, because I'm currently watching it.
Yeah, I got it on StatCast too. But let's talk about the Celtics and Bucks, because so this is another one that I was completely wrong. Like, what is wrong with Milwaukee? How can you put that much talent on the floor and just get routed? Like, I don't know. I remember, like, they had a game late in the year against the Sixers, and the Sixers were up, like, 50 on them.
Par for the course, yeah.
But, like, and then after tonight, like, the game wasn't even close. And, I mean, yeah, they played a good first game, but they're so wildly inconsistent. I don't know whether to chalk it up to youth or not, but right now my take on that series is Milwaukee needs 3 more years.
Two more years. Two to three more years.
Jeez. Whoa. I'm still reeling. I'm still reeling. I think, I mean, I don't think there's that big of a talent disparity, though. I mean,
well, that's after what I'm Giannis, saying.
Well, no. I'm saying I don't agree with you that they're putting that much talent on the floor. Oh, okay. I think Bledsoe's looked worse.
Okay.
I mean, did you hear his post games comment tonight?
No.
yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Someone asked him, like, what do you think about Terry Rozier? And he's like, who? That what he Terry Rozier, how do you think you're going to guard him going forward? He's like, I don't even know who that is.
yeah.
He just torched you for 50 points in two games.
And that's
he
hit bad.
Almost game winner in your face as you gave up. You better know who he is because he's signing your death warrant. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. And Jabari has looked slow laterally. Like, he's still a scorer, yeah. But defensively he's horrible. Thon McCurr is like, I think he's technically 38, and Chris Middleton, when Chris Middleton's your second best player, well, because Horford can run him off the floor. I don't know. I just don't think there's enough talent behind Giannis to speak against it. I also think coaching is just horrendous there.
Yeah, that's the problem with the Bucks. I mean, they got Joe Prunty. Is that his last name?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, the level of basketball and coaching at the NBA level is different than all levels, but. Even here, you can tell that there's an issue coaching. I mean, look at this. Tonight, they put in Shabazz in the second quarter. Shabazz Muhammad.
He's with the Bucks.
Not even the right Shabazz.
Exactly. He's on the Bucks. Okay. You didn't even know that.
No.
You got a guy like Deli.
They got to give him minutes.
Yeah, Dela Jehovah.
Who's not a great player, but he's going to come in and he's going to play hard.
Okay, opinions.
And he's going to make some plays. Oh, I think he's great. I love him. White boy pride.
He's got a signature shoe, so.
Jabari had a bad night.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, we couldn't have interrupted.
It's just, I think they have the talent to obviously be better than they are.
Yeah.
Because Malcolm Brogdon looked good tonight, and Giannis is a top 5-6 player, and what's his name? Chris Middleton is one of the most underrated players in the league. But I mean,
yeah,
you can just tell they have some issues.
It's just so disappointing to me because it's kind of like Giannis with the MVP race. I was kind of high on the Bucks going into the year, and then. When the playoffs roll around, just to see this, it's kind of just a slow death, but oh well. Expected more.
If you could add last thought to Bucks, because I think they really need a coach. I think they should go after Budenholzer this year, because I think that would help them a lot from Atlanta. But if you could add like any player that would be that's not an all-star to the Bucks, what do you think would help them the most?
Sam?
Give me a really good defensive wing.
Oh, okay.
Because people say, talk about how long they are and how athletic they are, but they don't really utilize it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jabari's been awful defensively.
Oh, he's a thief, yeah.
And Chris Middleton isn't great. He's okay defensively. So if they can get a guy that can give them a little bit better identity on the wing defensively, then that'll help.
Oh, no. No. Well, this is Sam are anti Wiggins. I don't know how you feel, DJ.
No, I don't. I can't. Who's a good wing that's not an all star?
A defender?
Yeah, a defender that's not an all star.
Danny Green?
Maybe. Yeah.
Danny Green's okay.
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think role players. I guess
Ingles.
Hey, no, he is locked.
He's got the clamps, man. He's like an Australian box jellyfish. I think. Well, did you guys watch the game? I wasn't watching it. I was at the gym for the ladies listening. Did they run Giannis at the five a lot or no? Because they were doing that last game and it was close, but I didn't know if they kept it this game.
DJ and I were at some sexual assault thing, but
okay,
I had it on and he was at the five, but they haven't played a lot of minutes like that all this year.
I mean, they were blitzing them offensively when they tried that game one because they just couldn't keep up. And I think that's what they kind of have to realize. I mean, John Henson and Thon McCurr both look like Gumby. Like, neither of them have a chance to really do anything. And defensively, they're both horrible. So I think, like, in my eyes, I would love to see them try to get a good big man this summer.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I don't think they have the money to pay, like, DeAndre Jordan or something. But even as a Jazz fan, like, see them trying to steal favors. Like, I think he could be a good five for them. Mm. I just think they need some size in the middle. I don't know exactly how that would work out. Because, I mean, having Giannis and DeAndre in the same starting lineup, well, shooting's a little bit down. I mean, you're going to try to counteract that with Chris and Snell and Brogdon. But I don't know. I'm not the GM, so I won't make the decision.
Yeah. I like that idea. I like Sam's idea, too. I don't know. There's there's something there. It's for them to decide. Maybe LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense.
LeBron would just salivate at the opportunity to live in Wisconsin. He would love it. Bunch of white folks and cheese. Sign me up.
Dude, and then as I was driving, I was thinking about like what I was going to say about this series. I thought about that too. Like them moving forward, their future isn't as bright as you would think with guys like Giannis and Middleton and Jabari. You know what I mean?
Well, Giannis said at the beginning of the year, he said, I mean, I don't know how many years he has left on his deal, but he said, my decision, whenever that time comes, will be based on how we've been and how we're looking going forward. So, I mean, the clock's already ticking for them.
Yeah, he has three more years after this year, but they're kind of locked in. Like, cap-wise, they don't really have a lot of options. I don't think they re-sign Jabari this summer. I just think they're just going to let him go.
They can get a deal for him,
I don't think they're going to get him at all because he's up. I think they're just going to let him walk. That's future Jazz superstar Jabari Parker.
Oh, his contract is up?
He's a restricted free agent this summer.
Yeah, and I really don't think they'll try and match anything. I think it's just like they're just going to lock him into too much bad money long term. And I don't think Jabari and Giannis are a good fit together.
He's coming to Utah.
He is. He's going to get no tithing. I've heard it.
Put butts in the seats.
Yeah. I'll be there. Get Jimmer on the G League. anyway, should we talk about the Celtics at all?
No.
I hear enough about the Celtics.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So. Jaylen Brown's unreal. Last 12 seconds. Jaylen Brown, I've loved him more and more. Did you know? New news for you guys. New segment. New news. Jaylen Brown is younger than Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell.
Wow.
Wow.
Is he 20 yet? Is he 20?
I think he's 17. He's going to junior prom.
I was gonna say, bro.
Imagine him when he could vote.
No, sorry to keep going off on tangents here, but like Derek Favors is only like 25 or something like that, and he's been in the league since I don't like how long has Derek Favors been on the Jazz?
He's in his eighth or ninth year.
2011, I think, is when he got here.
That's crazy.
And he was drafted, I think, 2009 because he was third after Wall and Evan Turner. Or no, maybe 2010. I don't know. He also 26. Just looks old.
26 turning 27. Okay. That's not as young as I thought. But, like, I was like, he's not – like, I would have thought he was up around 30.
He's like 2 years older than me, and this dude looks like he survived the Cold War. Yeah.
Well, he still has the facial expressions of a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Really? Oh. I need to look at his face more. What you doing looking at his face, Derek?
Just study my guys.
Good looking. All right, next series. I'll pick it this time. Let's stay east, and let's get to it. Cleveland, Indiana.
Oh my goodness!
What? What? I'm prepared. Put Oladipo top five in the league. My mind has changed.
Oh, yeah. I love him. He's great.
He's great, dude.
Just a lot of size. I think it's kind of a pro LeBron podcast, and I just. Yeah, they didn't have a good shooting night, but they were ran off the floor. It wasn't like they were just done for and Pacers were getting lucky. Pacers were killing them defensively, offensively, special teams. I mean, everything was just – they just knew what they were doing. They just crushed them. Lance Stephenson's the only guy in the league who can consistently get under LeBron's skin. Not like disrupt him that much because LeBron still had a great stat line. But Lance is someone LeBron recognizes exists on the earth, which I don't think every other NBA player can say that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's entertaining. And, I mean, it'll be fun as you go. I still don't think – I'm still letting it marinate. I'm not going to switch and say the Pacers are winning. Is that a dissenting opinion?
So,
let's hear it.
So, check this. So, I listened to Bill Simmons, that podcast I told you about.
Yeah.
And Bill Simmons was
– Our rivals. Yeah.
he brought up a good point. He brought up a good point, and this could become a very real possibility. Like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, chill out. We're not going to worry about the Cavs. But I think with the way that game went, this series could be headed for a 3-2 Indiana advantage with game six being in Indiana. Like that spells trouble for Cleveland for me. Trouble. Because and I don't know. I don't think they have obviously they don't have the experience to handle that, but based off what we saw in game one, they wouldn't have the help to handle a rowdy atmosphere like that. LeBron would have to score 40 plus. And not saying that he can't, but that, I don't know, just to leave it up to one game like that is what makes it dangerous. So I don't know what to think going forward. I'll have a better idea tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sam, what do you think?
I'm not sure you guys want me to start talking about this.
Go ahead.
Listen.
Yeah, you're right. Let's move on. Yeah.
Listen, I love LeBron.
Here
comes the butt.
El Diablo, baby. I'm feeling the scorch.
Did he not look just completely disengaged that entire game?
Disinterested. Oh, yeah. That post, that Zero Dark 30 post that he did,
that was bull.
I knew they were in trouble. He's like, I'm going to go dark so everyone can go light. No, bro. Like, you can't do that with this team.
Well, I mean, that entire team is bad defensively. Yeah. And obviously they didn't shoot the ball well. Jeff Green, did he make a shot? I think he was 0-for-10.
I'm sick of Jeff Green.
But, I mean, that's just – of all the games I watched, there was not a team that was even close to the lack of effort and just care that the Cavs had. And that really makes me mad from knowing that LeBron can take this team at least to the finals with the East kind of wide open.
Yep.
And I still think they – I mean, we'll know by tomorrow, but, I mean, they should still be the favorites in this series. Yeah. But that's just – it was so embarrassing.
Look, I think Ty Lue brought up a good point after the game. LeBron needs to be more aggressive early. And that's just fact. Like, and it's the weirdest thing.
He didn't attempt a shot for 10 minutes.
I was
going to
say, how many shots did he have in the first quarter? No, I was going right there.
yeah.
And I don't know. I don't get it. LeBron, like, you have to know that you can't do that. With the amount of basketball you've played in your life and what you have around, like, it's just unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't look – I mean, didn't look interested. He still had a good stat line. I don't remember what it was, but it was something good because that's just par for the course. But, yeah, he just didn't look – I mean, he wasn't there. He was thinking something else, thinking about his vineyard. I don't know, Bitcoin prices. I have no idea. I don't think he stays. And we'll do – we'll definitely have enough pods in the summer.
Yeah.
Like in between finals and free agency where we'll talk about LeBron. We'll have a LeBron-a-pod.
Yeah.
Even though that feels like every pod has been that. But what can we say? He's the best player in the league. He's talkable. But, there's no way they win the finals. There's no universe where they win the finals because you just cannot be that bad at defense. LeBron is the best defender of their team, and he's out there not even caring. I mean, you saw Lance. He's complaining a lot to the refs right now lately.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely.
And that's – I mean, I get that's part of the game, and I will never, like, single out a person because so many players do that. But just seeing Lance Stephenson go on down for a dunk on the other side and then ram his head into the stanchion. I don't know if you saw that, but then LeBron still complained the other end. It's like, dude, you're the MVP. You're the best player. One of the best players of all time. And you're out here letting this guy just dunk and you're complaining. Like, come on.
Yeah. So you guys both watched that game, right?
Yeah. Majority of
it. Yeah. When was it? It was on Sunday, right?
Sunday. I want to invite any of our 25 listeners who have not watched the game. 25 million not watched the game to go rewatch it and count how many times either Kevin Love or LeBron or whoever else, Jeff Green, JR is my least favorite player in the league, but that doesn't matter.
My favorite player in the league, but it does matter.
I want you to count how many times those guys jog back on defense.
Pitiful.
After not getting a call.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the playoffs. You cannot do that in the playoffs. Who cares in the regular season? Yes. But
the thing that sucks is they could do that last year and the year before because they just knew they were going to outscore everybody. This year, you just don't have that many weapons on offense. You have streaky shooters at best. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think defense makes up for that. And I don't know. I don't know how bad Coach Lou is. I don't know what's going on, but I'm almost like my finger's on the panic button. I just haven't applied pressure yet.
Hey, let's give some love to the Pacers.
I agree though too.
Yeah, great city.
Even dude,
it is great
like,
city.
Oladipo's a beast. I don't know what else.
Oladipo's fantastic. I think he might honestly be in like a very low level MVP conversation next year. Like, just his defense is what I've watched more of him. As in, I watched one game, which is more than I'd seen most of the year. But he's a phenomenal defender, and I mean to keep the scoring, you know, on burden on your shoulders as well for that team, he's amazing. And I am sorry I doubted him. This is like a 3-year marinade. I didn't think he was that great in Orlando. Thought it'd be okay in Oklahoma, and then just
he led the league in steals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to shoot it as well. He stole my heart on Sunday.
He was 6 of 9 from 3 on Sunday.
Yeah, he was feeling scorching. It, but that entire team, I mean, they play so hard and they play together and they were up in the Cavs the entire game.
It looked like a good chemistry. which I love to see. Yeah. Like Sabonis and Oladipo actually had like a Players Tribune article come out this week, you know, Derek Jeter's little magazine, editor-in-chief, about his like kind of his road here to Indiana, about how he was a little worried and you know, getting to know the guys and Sabonis and stuff. And I think that makes – I think it gets a little overdone for sports movies, but I really do think it's true to some degree, because you see this year a lot more drama has surrounded the Cavs this year, and they haven't had Richard Jefferson or James Jones, who I really think – or stabilizing presences in the locker room. Yeah.
But they signed Kendrick Perkins.
They did sign Kendrick Perkins to take a tire iron to Draymond's knee. But
I was going to say, we all know why he's on the team, right?
But, I mean, Kendrick does have a lot of clout in a lot of people saying he's a good influence on them in the league and help them adjust. But still, I mean, no locker room presence like that all year long. And it's just a lot of new guys and a lot of young guys and just –
yeah,
that's, LeBron's style is not to be that locker room guy. He needed the Shane Battiers in Miami. He needed the, you know, the Richard Jeffersons here.
No doubt.
He's still – that's just – and that's okay. Like, people are different, but you need all aspects of that.
Yeah. I mean, give the Pacers their due respect. Last thing I will say, though, is, like, what's wrong with Osmond? Why don't you just throw Osmond out there and tell him to
follow
Oladipo around? Like, how can you just let someone light you up like that without doing anything?
Yeah. Where's my boy?
My philosophy is put in the guys that are going to play the hardest.
Yep.
Yeah, you've been saying that forever.
I don't know.
Yeah, since day one.
It'll be an exciting game too, I think, because, well, I don't know about exciting, but exciting to see what the Cavs do.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow they could win 130-98. And like,
freak out. Yeah.
Well, get the rings made already.
Yeah.
Get the parade planned. All right, Sam, pick another one. Let's go back to the West. Pick something out West.
Let's go Jazz Thunder.
Ooh, let's go Jazz. Yeah, good. I agree with that.
Let's go Jazz. Was there thunder? Did you hear thunder? Like what?
No, it snowed last night for me. But yeah, Sam, take it away. What's your take? What was your take beforehand? Where does it stand now? We've only had one game, so it's a bit less, but
I mean, what a great game by the Thunder. They played awesome. Jazz didn't play great. My one concern going into this series, I think most people said this was going to be a series that goes 6 or 7 and it was going to be exciting. So you can't really take a whole lot from one game like this. But my main concern as a Jazz fan was how Donovan was going to play.
Yeah.
Because you saw it in Portland, he didn't play very well. And
yeah,
he's had times on national TV this year where he hasn't looked very good. So for me, that was actually a very bright spot just to see how well he played and how confident he was, how good he felt. I mean, when playoff P goes off like that, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Yeah.
Playoff
but,
P.
Yeah, you hope the Thunder don't shoot like that for the rest of the series, and hopefully our main man, Jingles, can get some things figured out as well.
Yeah. I think I agree. What I did like is how, like, I don't know. It just always felt like we were within striking distance. It never really got, and I don't know. I can't remember if I finished the game, but just we played true to form Utah basketball where we played hard the entire 48 minutes. And I think that kind of sent a message. I mean, the final score, we were down 8, which game was a little bit more out
well,
of
due
hand,
to Alec Burks.
Yeah, Alec Burks. Garbage time.
But I think what we showed is we're not going anywhere. We're not going to be afraid. Or I guess the Jazz aren't going anywhere. They're not going to be afraid, and they'll be able to kind of just weather whatever storm Oklahoma City throws at them. Get it? But I do think this series,
they're from
and
Oklahoma.
I'm going to stick with my original take. I think this series goes to 7 games because I think we play a lot better at home, and Oklahoma City is kind of erratic, and that's not a good equation for them in the playoffs on the road.
Yeah, I don't think it's been cleared yet of Donovan's plan tomorrow night. Or tonight, when you listen to this, loyal listeners, I think he will. I mean, a contusion. It feels like something we can get over.
When he get on his pinky toe?
I don't know for sure.
It's what
Sam,
he says,
Sam, you're friends with him.
Oh yeah, I texted him today actually, and he didn't respond. But
okay,
yeah, well he said pinky toe, but
he's more of a snap guy. But yeah,
yeah, exactly. But they're calling it a foot contusion. They also said so. Donovan practiced today, not a ton, but he did practice. Paul George did not practice at all. They're both listed as questionable. I mean,
wait,
they'll both
happened,
play.
What
but
happened to playoff P?
He has a hip contusion.
Wow. How do you?
What is with these contusions?
Is that like when you run into your counter when you're walking around your kitchen?
That's exactly the perfect description. Could have said it better myself.
I wouldn't play for 3 weeks.
Just clip that thing on the. Oh,
I'll be out, man. I'll be home.
So they're both questionable. I mean, I'm assuming they'll both play.
They'll play.
Huh.
I don't know.
You might.
What? So the here's why the Thunder suck. Is like, Paul George doesn't. Paul George doesn't play, but then like we still have to try to guard Russell Westbrook.
Don't say Carmelo.
No, I wasn't gonna say Carmelo.
No, he was gonna say Patrick Carmelo Patterson.
And then the hard part about guarding Russ is Steven Adams is the most underrated center in the league. First of all, I don't know. He doesn't. Yeah. I don't know if he neutralizes Gobert defensively, but
disrespect to Okafor. But
I don't know. The Russell and Steven combination is hard to overcome for any team. And where the Jazz pride themselves on defense, especially with a guy like Gobert, I feel like that kind of neutralizes it. It's kind of scary to me, but I still think 7 games.
Yeah, we didn't really have a playoff preview pod, which is fine. But I wrote down my thoughts, and I have initially said, and it took me a lot of thought, I said OKC in 7.
Yeah.
And I think it will be close. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jazz won in 7, it wouldn't be like my take was obliterated. But that's what I thought originally, just because you know, how Oklahoma plays is something that can play against us. I think their aggressive defense can really hamper our what we try to do offensively. And that's why I kind of like seeing Alec Burks a little bit, even though Jazz fans would like to throw him in the woodshed. I just think, I mean, having someone that can go off the dribble is something that we can use at some point, but I don't think it's sustainable at all. I mean, I'm not like suggesting, hey, Quinn, play him 20 minutes. I just thought like, and that wasn't indicative of anything really happening. There was 2 minutes left and he was like, well, I'm going for it. But, I mean, changing the game plan to be more on that. And I mean, Donovan obviously played well, but just their defensive style can stifle us. I know Steven's like one of the guys who just really gets Rudy fits in the league.
Yep.
And that kind of neutralizes that a little bit. So I think it go either way. I just think sometimes it's tough to beat that talent gap.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City doesn't have a deep bench, but in the playoffs, you limit that anyway. And I don't know, if playoff P and playoff R and playoff S and playoff C, I guess, you know, are all rolling.
Don't ever say that ever again.
Five years ago.
Give it a couple minutes. I'll try it again.
Nugget Carmelo, if he ever comes out of the woodwork.
One last thing about this series.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this more with Sixers Heat.
With Donovan on the pod, yeah.
Because Sixers Heat, because of what Spoelstra did in game two.
Yeah.
You know that Quinn Snyder, who's big on adjustments, will have made some big-time adjustments for this game two. So that's why I'm excited for tonight. This game, tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, thank you for caring about the listeners.
Yeah, I don't know. This series could be a lot like the Clippers series last year, I think too.
I think they're pretty evenly matched teams with different styles.
Yep,
and that's why I enjoy them. Like, Spurs Warriors. I'm like, I don't even want to watch the next two games, but so far the series I've liked the most. Jazz Thunder, I would watch 7 games of. And right now, Blazers Pelicans has been exceptionally awesome.
Which the Pelicans are up 2 with 6 minutes left.
Oh, we'll save that for last. It might be over by the time we get done. So let's kind of transition then, as you mentioned. Let's go to Philly, Miami. Deej the Duke, Double D. You want to lead us off here?
Yeah. So I don't know. I wasn't really high on Miami and their chances in this series.
Yep.
Until last night. So
until they won.
That's a shocker. I know. But I mean, as obvious as that sounds, but watching the game, this game two, it's not like, the Heat have a chance here. It's like, okay, the Heat can really control this series, which is why I said it that way. Where it was before, it was like, the Sixers will just kind of roll over them. They're hot right now. But last night, it looked like the Sixers just didn't have an answer. They got to within – was it last night? It was, right?
When they're listening, 2 nights ago.
Yeah, 2 nights ago. So sorry about that.
Time doesn't exist.
So
we're flat earth pod. Yeah.
They got to within 2, but they had no answer for Dwayne Wade. And Blake, you kind of mentioned this. Dwayne Wade's going to need a stretcher probably. For the performance that he had. I don't know if he'll be able to.
Dwayne Wade's is a chiropractor for the next 6 days.
I don't know if he'll ever be able to recover from that game. But they are going back to Miami with that home court advantage. And the Sixers looked kind of like, it's the playoffs. What are we going to do? You know, so I don't know. I think the Heat have a legitimate shot to control and dominate this series. I think if they win those 2 games in Miami. And then my second.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying win it in 5. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then my second take is Dario Saric is the greatest player that has ever walked the earth.
He looked great last night.
I was game casting the game. I was game casting it because I was studying, and he was everywhere.
You were not studying.
This guy is amazing. I was too.
Whoa, whoa, hey. This is a 4-0 Nation pod. Come on, Sam. Of course he was.
But
studying.
Yeah, I don't know. That's I honestly, it's a real possibility for me to see the Heat winning that thing in five. Sorry.
Ooh, that's Blake. That's a big one. Okay, yeah, let me
go ahead,
Blake. For a second. Okay, after the Sixers lost 2 nights ago, apparently I have become the ambassador for the city of Philadelphia. I got like 7 text messages from different people, like just gloating in the loss. I'm like, this isn't even my favorite.
Oh, yeah,
team.
I was saving that all for tonight.
Everyone was just like, look at this. Look at your shame. Do you feel disgusted? I'm like, bro, it's just basketball. I'll be okay. Like, I'm not like a diehard Sixers fan or anything. I want that clear for record. I still like the team, you know, because I like the players. I like what they did. I love Sam Hinkie. He's a great guy, but it's not like I think it's funny that the internet has decided to just crucify Blake upon this Philadelphia cause. I know Sam's got some words, and I think we'll be more apt to want to listen to those. I think I'm definitely not saying Miami in five. I would still worry about Miami. Just because Spoelstra is a great coach. He knows how to adjust and make the most out of his the less talented personnel that he has. I mean, Josh Richardson's a monster out there, and that sounds like, you know, your next door neighbor. And so I Spoelstra's pretty awesome. And from there, I think the Sixers are gonna be okay because they're shooting. They shot 17% from 3-pointer. And it still was a close game, like you said, at the end of the fourth. I know they kind of blew it open the last 2 minutes. I mean, they were within 4-6. I'd say that's a pretty close game for the last few minutes. And then free throws killed them the last 2 minutes.
To me, it never looked like – it just looked like the Heat were in control. It never looked like –
Oh, I agree.
Balance.
Yeah.
I guess that's why.
Yeah. When they got within two, and then I think Dario brought it up, and then Dwayne just picked his pocket and took the other and dunked it. I was like – That the moment I thought that's over. It's only 4 points. It's over. But still, to be that close and have shot that poorly, I mean, that's regression to the mean at times. So I'm not pressing the panic button. I still think like, yeah, these Sixers just won 17 straight games. Yeah, they're the 3 seed. Yeah, Embiid is not even playing yet. Let's see. And Brett Brown is a great coach as well. I mean, his Ilyasova move completely neutralized Whiteside, took him out of the game, and they killed him that first round. And you know, obviously didn't work that best. Like great the second game. So I'm still really excited to see how it goes because I think. It'll be interesting to see the chess pieces move around between the two coaches, and hopefully my Heat can do okay against my Sixers. You know,
wow, you just love every team, don't you?
I'm just a pacifist, my man.
That's what I like to hear.
Anyway, Sam, let's hear the takes.
All right, let's start with the Heat. I'm a big fan of this Heat team. Not saying they could go super far. I love how they have 10 guys that you can throw on the court and can get you 10 or 15 a game. Or can do,
yeah,
or can
you've
do something.
Been a big Olenek fan.
Yeah, Goran Dragic too.
I love those guys. But like I was saying earlier, the adjustments that Spoelstra made from game one to game two are just, I mean, it seems obvious, but not a lot of coaches can do that.
So here, Sam, I got a question for you. So now is it Brett Brown's move? Like he made the movements to the chess piece, or is Spoelstra still thinking, you know, be on the attack?
I think you're going to see the same thing that you saw this last game from the Heat, meaning they pressured Ben Simmons rather than letting him sit back. And
yeah,
because he averages 8 assists a game, but he probably gets 4 or 5 assists just because he has no pressure on him and he gets to throw the ball to wide open guys.
Yeah.
Philly's best adjustment may just be playing Embiid. I mean,
That's what I was going to say. That was my next question.
So obviously he'll make a difference because one, he's so good, and two, that makes it so that Whiteside has to be on the court, who's awful, has been absolutely awful in these last two games. But, you know, I think you talked about how the Sixers shot horrible in game two. Well, they shot out of their minds in game one. I mean, JJ had 28 and Bellinelli had 25. I mean, Bellinelli was looking like Steph these last two games, and so we'll have to see what happens with Embiid, but I think it's obviously still the Sixers to win, but if the Heat can get game three, that puts a lot of pressure on a really young team for game four.
I agree.
100%, yeah.
I got a question now for you, Blake, because you probably know. Is what about Embiid and him playing game three?
It's not clear yet. I don't know if you guys saw his Instagram story last night. We don't believe in censoring here, so I'm going to read it. No, I won't. He said something to the effect of, I'm so effing tired of being babied all the time, just on a black screen. And I mean, I guess he really is. He's in the millennial age, because that's a very our age group type of thing. To just the black screen with nothing else. Just you cover it over your hand, and then, yeah. But
I use my leg.
I just put it on a table. Yeah, I like to have a little, you know, aesthetic principle to it. So I have some in the background that I cover up a little bit. But I think he later said he was asked about it, and he said, you know, listen, I promised us the playoffs is before this year. I promised that this is going to happen, and now it's here, and I'm not playing, and I just want to do everything I can to be out there. So what I imagine behind the scenes is, you know, he wasn't cleared. He wanted to play. They had a frustrating loss because, I mean, it's easy to feel okay about not playing when your team wins by 20. Like, yeah, you want to be out there too, but you feel better. But when your team barely loses in a tough game, you're like, I want to be there. And so I it's not clear for game three because it's not till Thursday when they play. So I think he might strap him up and go out there Thursday night. I think if they had won game two, he probably wouldn't, just to be safe. But, I mean, you just wear the mask, phantom of the process, you get out there. So we'll see.
Go ahead.
All right. So here, go ahead, Sam, because I got a scenario. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he's – now, so he had the facial restructure or whatever, Phantom of the Opera or whatever. I'm pretty sure right now he's in concussion protocol.
No, he cleared on Monday. He cleared on Monday. Okay. Yep.
So I would guess he'll play on Thursday.
So here's one for you guys. Say Embiid doesn't play and the Heat take game three. He's coming back for game four. Would his presence on the court make a difference for the Sixers to be able to win that game? Go ahead. Give me your answer.
I'd say 100%. Someone just – Mo Harkless just nailed a three for the Blazers, up 100-99.
Try to watch it on my TV, but it won't let me.
Yeah, I know. We're both double-dipping. But I think he'll definitely make a difference. Like, as I've watched this the Sixers team throughout the win streak and whatnot, they've really adopted a different identity. And I hate to say this because it, you know, it sounds a little bit by hyperbole, but it reminded me a lot of like the 2014 Spurs with their heavy ball movement of just continually passing, moving, hitting three after three. And I maybe it's wrong, but a ton of foreigners that remind me of the Spurs too. You know, I mean, it's a true fact. You know, I think right now the Jazz and the Sixers are tied with the most foreigners, non-American players on their team in the league. So go me. I'm very non-xenophobic. But – it just reminded me of that kind of ball. It was very different than when Embiid was in, because Embiid has a high usage rate. He can turn into a black hole. He's not the best passer yet. He turns it over. But at the same time, it's like, well, this guy still scores and is awesome. Yeah. So it's just kind of, I think, trying to meld those two identities that they've found. And I think the biggest thing that it's going to help is Embiid's presence defensively.
Okay.
He's going to end up probably second in the Defensive Player of the Year voting behind Gobert. And I mean, statistically, there's a lot of measures where he measures up just with Rudy or even just ahead of him as well. Like, he is the highest field goal percentage at the rim of anyone. Yeah. Against him. I think it's like the highest by like 2 percentage points. So I think that'll be the bigger thing, not exactly them scoring, but having his presence out there rather than Ersin Ilyasova at the center or Amir Johnson, who can't jump over a phone book. Like, that'll change the game in and of itself. And this Blazers game is absolutely nuts right now. Wow.
And they're going back and forth.
Yeah, I know. We might need to take a pause.
My thought process on that question is exactly what you said. They, like, game four with Embiid coming back, would they change their style or would they, you know, kind of stick with what they're doing? I don't know. That, to me, if Embiid doesn't play game three and the Heat win game four, it'd be hard for me to say with Embiid coming back the Sixers could win.
Well, that'd be a 3-1 deficit they'd have to come back from.
Yeah, that's
no, 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 no. I'm saying just game four.
So, if he were to come back for game four, having lost game three, you're saying?
Yes, exactly. I think that game four spells trouble, which is why, to me, the series could get out of hand if it's 3-1. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying now?
Enough for me to say yes and move on. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's a tough situation.
But they don't play till Thursday. He'll be back, I think.
Yeah. So my final prediction, let's jump on the teams. I will still say Philly in six. That's what I said beforehand. I think I'm gonna let it ride. I think they'll get one in Miami, come back 2-2, and then probably win the next two.
It'll be a good series.
You guys got any last takes on that? For the marinade, pull it out.
I hate the Sixers, so I don't want to make a prediction. Okay. No bias.
Thank
for
you
me.
For admitting your bias. That helps. Thank you for admitting it.
Hey, but I had no bias in my take, so we're good.
That's good. DJ, any prediction on that one?
I don't know. I'll take the Heat in six. Heat in five. Right, Heat in five was aggressive, but I'll take the Heat in six.
Can I actually make a prediction?
Yeah.
I literally asked you to.
But yeah, sure. But now I want to. Non-biased. Okay. Heat in six.
Oh, okay. What's the bias prediction? Heat in four somehow?
Yes, Heat.
They retroactively get game one
right now.
The Philadelphia plane crashes and they forfeit.
Oh, Bill Belichick was watching your tape. We're gonna give you guys game one. Ah, well, dang.
Let me tell you guys how much I hate the Sixers, and then we can move on. Sorry. If the six,
yeah. Is there a mute your mic button? Oh, let me see this. Yeah, keep going. No, keep going, dude. Yeah, we're listening. Seriously.
If the Sixers were to win this series, I would cheer for the Celtics to beat them in the second round.
Oh my gosh.
And, I mean,
and you hate the Celtics. You're a diehard Lakers fan.
No, I don't hate the Celtics, but they're kind of annoying with my roommate Crew Range. But I would cheer for the Celtics.
Shout out Crew.
It's a great guy.
Hey, breaking news. Let's break into the pod. Crew's engaged.
Crew is engaged.
Woo! Yeah, I think we also have some other breaking news. Sam, I think you recently engaged as well.
Yes, as of about 2.5 months.
No need to say that. No, breaking news. We're breaking the news. Has any other podcast reported on it?
No. So congratulations.
No. So yeah, we're breaking.
Heard
the news.
It here
yeah,
first.
Yeah, you heard it. Me and DJ.
Wait, what did I? What did I hear? I just went pee.
Okay. Thank you.
We're just knocking on the Herald Journal's door, telling them to get out the way. Cool. That's all. Come for the Desert News. All right, next one up.
Oh, whoa,
DJ, you're still recovering.
Hold on.
Whoa. What?
Pelicans up 8 with 38 seconds left.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's probably a wrap.
Should we just move that one?
No,
talk about
that
in a second.
Let's talk about the one.
No, let's let him finish it. Okay, which one do you want to talk about?
The Washington Toronto.
Oh my.
Okay.
Who cares? Move on. All right, here we go.
Wait, you guys not have 30 seconds? Okay.
What?
No, you
get
10
seconds.
And we each get 10 seconds. Each get 10 seconds.
Get my timer ready. Here we go. Okay.
It's not on.
The Wizards are a disaster chemistry-wise, and Toronto is on fire.
Okay. Sam, 10 seconds.
Wizards are a disaster. I am cheering for the Raptors. Go Raptors. You can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, they hear that. DeMar is a frequent listener. My 10 seconds. The Wizards are a well-oiled machine. I think we might get a blockbuster John Wall.
Ooh,
I'll speak into existence. I think it'll come out of nowhere and we'll be like, whoa, because they played pretty good without him, and I think they know their cap situation is really bad. They would try it. My secret one is that LeBron and Paul George go to the Lakers, and then LeBron forces Alonzo like Josh Hart trade for John Wall or something.
But does it count as a blockbuster trade if hardly anyone in the league even likes him?
I don't think that's the definition of a blockbuster. No one likes the Transformers movies, but they still exist. Okay.
No, hey, I didn't.
That's why we said nobody likes them.
No, Blake, I didn't want to talk about that or bring that up with this series because it's just so boring. But
what
no,
Transformers?
No, John
yeah.
Wall. But honestly, I don't think John Wall will be on the Wizards next year. But
oh, no.
It's like you said.
Breaking news.
It's
We're breaking
be,
it
it's
out.
It's going to be hard for someone to want him because he's just such like a. It's like, what can you do? Like, you can drive, you can jump high, and you're fast. Like,
he's a mercurial talent. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'll definitely make it some fake trade scenarios, but I think he's gone.
I don't know.
Beals looked great. Not tonight. He looked horrible. Absolutely horrible. But historically, he is. So let's
just
move on.
Two more minutes than we should on that one.
Well, it's my pod, so my rules. Take a hike. Let's do the last one in the West before we get to Portland. Rockets Wolves.
Ooh, yay.
Go ahead, Sam. He said yay.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I don't have yay for this one.
You apparently have feelings about this.
Actually, I'm for some random reason, I'm a Timberwolves hater as well. But
okay, a lot of stuff in your heart.
I wasn't a big James Harden fan early on, but
earlier this year,
because I wasn't a fan of him just dribble through his legs, step back three or drive layup. But after watching it more often, I love it. I think he's fun to watch, and he's going to win MVP like I think he should. I think the MVP has turned into more of a seasonal type thing, because if it was the actual definition, it would just be LeBron every year. But I think that I think that's a good thing. I'm fine with that. Give it to someone who has a great year and whose team has a great year. But I think this series will go 4 or 5. I mean, game one was close, but I think it'll go 4 or 5.
Two follow-up thoughts with that. I'm glad you saw the light on Harden. I don't love him as like one of my favorite players or characters or anything, but he had such a rap on him that he was so horrible to watch. And I admit, you know, there's some free throw stuff, but I you know, part of that's just the refs are the ones calling it and they're falling for it. He still does bait and it's annoying, but I just, when people say that they hate him, I'm just like, just watch a game. Watch a game with me with the Rockets in it and let's just see what you think. Yeah. And it always ends up like, this guy is so freaking good. He's a great passer. He's, you know, got his eyes everywhere and he can just do anything on the court at like half speed. He runs like molasses at times. So I'm glad you got on the doctrine of Harden. I'm not going to like die, you know, for him. It's not like he's one of my favorite, but I do think he's just exceptional talent. And I'm glad he's getting his due. And I think 4 or 5 at max. I said Wolves. I said Rockets in 5 beforehand. Just because I thought the Rockets, the Wolves would get lucky one game. And I think that would have had to been the first game because the Rockets shot absolutely poorly, absurdly poorly.
And Chris Paul had a bad night.
Yeah, like Harden's the only guy that showed up and they still won. So I'm like, that was the night you had to steal and they just don't. I'm not a believer in this Wolves team at all. I mean, Butler was out, but they still barely made it to the 8th seed. Defensively, they are a train wreck. Karl Anthony Towns is so unbelievably timid. He'd get a guard switched onto him all the time and he'd camp out in the corner. I mean, just go out and eat, young fella.
You're right on that, but I mean,
what is he like? Is he like 20?
Get him the ball, Tibbs. Get him the ball.
Oh, man. I agree. No, I agree. I think it's two sides. I think Towns needs to recognize, like, I can go to work and I can post up Eric Gordon, but I also think Tibbs needs to be like, hey, Wiggins, stop shooting. Hey, Jeff
Teague,
you're an idiot.
Stop trying to take Capella off the dribble. He's just going to block a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's two-sided. I think Tibbs has not been a good coach for this team. I really don't think they have a high ceiling. I didn't love the Butler trade. I love the value that they got for it. I really think, you know, value-wise, it was great. But I think long-term, they're not going to make the finals. Because, I mean, imagine if they still had stayed where they are and they got Lauri Markkanen instead, who would be a great fit next to Towns, and we're still young and youthful, and maybe they could still trade LaVine for something or trade a Wiggins or something else. Yeah. Rather than, I just think the Butler trade said, all right, lock it in, all guns loaded. We're going for, you know, playoffs and finals now, rather than letting them develop naturally as like the Thunder did back in like 2009, 2010 time. So that's my long-winded take. I think the Rockets are great. I actually am downgrading. I think the Rockets will sweep them.
My turn?
I hope so.
Initially I thought I was on the same thought process as you, Blake, like, a, you know, the Timberwolves might sneak a game. And after watching last night, that was their best chance Sunday night. After watching game one, I think their best chance was that game. The only real thing, like the real opinion I have on this series is Harden. You know, it's, my mind is kind of made up. Like, I know who's going to be the MVP. It's going to be Harden, and that's great. And I do think he is worthy of the most valuable player. But I'm kind of with you, Sam, on that. Harden's brilliant on offense. But is, you know, I kind of have a different mentality. It's a football player mentality. I can't take the flopping, man. And I never will be able to. I never will be able to. It's a shame because his brilliance on offense in my brain will always be just, I don't know if tainted is the right word, but it's just like, ugh. You know? Like, do you have to do that all the time? And that one, the flop at half, like pressuring into him, that was unbearable to me. And then it's like you said, Blake, the ref, it's on the ref for calling that, but come on.
Okay, yeah.
Like, Harden, James, you're better than that, I think. That's what I want to yell.
James, he flops a ton. But let's not confuse his flopping. Let's not mix his flopping and his ability to get to the free throw line, because his ability to draw fouls is a skill. The way he does it going to the rim and how he straightens out his arms and can get you to slap his arms almost every time is actually a really cool thing to watch. I agree with you, DJ. He's yeah.
There's a
lot of guys that need to stop flopping, but the skill that he has of being able to get fouled is as good as there is in the NBA.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I can pay more attention and differentiate between that.
But it's definitely a skill. Yeah, but
it's a shame to me because every time he does get a foul called on him, I'm like, oh, did he flop? And I look at the replay, you know?
Well, I think that's the problem. It's just the perception that, just gets laid upon you, so quickly, and just what you are. Like, if you're in there, whatever they decide upon you, your first few years in the league just kind of ends up who it is. I mean, Rajon Rondo is not really that bad of a shooter anymore, but that's just the thing that they've laid upon him. I'm not saying he's great or above average, but it's not like he's just a complete sieve.
I can't wait to talk about him.
He shot like 37% from three last year. Like, that's above league average, but nah, he's just trash. So I think that's just the thing is Harden got that narrative of, hey, he's a flopper, draws fouls. So every time it just casts into doubt anything he does from that point. And that's not exactly completely his fault, but I think it's a sweep or five at max. I just don't have trust in these Timberwolves, and Tibbs doesn't change who he is. And
which is unfortunate.
He's just going to get run off the floor. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a night in these, maybe game two, where they just drop like 140 because the Wolves are abysmal defenders and the Rockets are the best offense, one of the best offenses in league history. So
I agree.
But I think we're done here because the game just ended and that's what we really want to talk about.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Wow. the sixth seed is up 2-0 on the home court team Blazers.
This is so annoying to me. But it's so annoying, Portland. God, how can you play like that against the Jazz in the last game of the year and then just...
Yeah. I could be at a game right now.
Right?
At home. I could be eating Dippin' Dots, but instead I'm in my closet.
Okay, why are you in your closet?
The sound, dude. Best sound.
Sorry, have I been not sounding well?
No, you have.
Because I'm on my bed.
Well, no, your opinions haven't, but you can take it.
Got you!
No, we'll work with you. You'll be a longtime guest. I'm amazed. Drew Holiday, his defense is so good it offends me. I've said that to 1,000 people, but he is such a good defender. Tonight he dropped 33 points, 9 assists. Like, he's just I clowned on him all summer for that contract. He's making like $20 million or something a year. And I was like, well, that was a horrible investment. And these guys are just running them off the floor. I mean, yeah, okay, it was a 9-point game, but it just felt like the Pelicans, I guess when a team upsets you, the margin always feels bigger. Like a 10-point loss to the 6th seed kind of feels like a 20-point loss in my eyes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And it just is – these guys might be – I might be talking myself into them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be at this point?
Well, they'll play the Warriors in a week and a half. What was I thinking?
This is round one.
Doesn't count.
Who was that man?
We'll do the round two pod when that time comes.
When they're losing game five to complete the 4-1 series, but I never trust
game them. Five.
Drew Holiday, get that bum off my screen. Any other thoughts? You want to talk about Rondo, DJ? Let's hear it.
I love Rajon Rondo. First of all, I didn't really like him when he was with the Celtics because he played for the Celtics, but I've always admired his ability. He is like to me the ultimate captain, like. Just his ability and his presence on the court, it must be the most comforting thing for the four guys that he's playing with, just to know that that guy sees things different and has everything under control. It is amazing, and it's so fun to watch, especially now people think you're washed up. And I do want to mention this. Do you remember last year when they were playing the Celtics? The Bulls were in control of that series until Rondo went out. So, like, this is not not surprising to me at all. I think Rondo is and has been. You know, there was when he was with the Celtics and the Big Three were doing their thing. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett admitted like he's the one who makes things go. To me, the least. I don't know about underrated, most underrated, but like the least talked about. Person who we deserve to talk about Rondo, and I think we should. I don't know. I just love his game, and I think he's a plus 17 tonight, second highest on the team. Miritich was plus 18, shot well, 6 of 11. I mean, he's getting boards. Just it's the old Rondo, man.
Oh man, just list his stat line out.
Yes, okay. So he's 6 of 11 for 16 points.
He was 2 of 3 from three.
I love it.
10 boards, 9 assists. He didn't have a steal. He had 6 turnovers, which is, I mean, but he's your point guard. But like,
yeah,
just a stud in every sense of the word.
He's phenomenal, and I love watching him play. He's got such a mind. He's like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, man. He could be out there solving theoretical physics, but no, he got to figure out that side pick and roll. So I'm a huge fan. I just like his Franklin the Turtle look and just what he's done. I mean, with Anthony Davis only scoring 22 and see the rest of the team come up and win big for him, I'm talking myself into it. I'm buying all the stock.
I would too at this point because they're playing a team that's kind of – I don't know how well the Portland – I haven't watched the Pelicans enough. I don't know how well Portland matches up against them. But where you would think, yeah, Lillard and McCollum have the advantage over Holiday and Rondo in this series, but really it's Rondo and Holiday that are outplaying those two.
Yeah. Oh, they're crushing them. Samuel Hoskins, you got some thoughts?
I agree. I was going to talk about Rondo too. So
do it, dude. I want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from you.
We can have repeats.
Well, AD's been great. I mean, we've talked about him and we know how good he is and he's awesome. I'm glad he's finally getting his playoff wins so people can stop putting that on him.
No, I'm sorry, Sam, but just real quick. I was one of those guys that was like, Anthony Davis hasn't done anything. Like, what have you done for me lately? And now that he's winning, it's like, all right, I'm starting to buy into him. But anyway,
yeah, he's great. Drew Holiday's one of my favorite players. Rest in peace, Pat Connaughton.
Dunk on him?
No,
or something?
He blocked that shot at the end of game one.
Oh, okay, the block. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, I get you.
Come on, white boy pride. Come on, Patty Ice. We need some help there.
Oh, jeez, pretty MAGA pod right now.
But yeah, Rondo. Obviously, there's a different level that he brings in the playoffs, like most players in the NBA. But Anthony Davis was talking. They were talking pre-playoffs, and he said that on last Wednesday or Thursday, Rondo called him at 2 a.m. and was like, started talking about scheme. And
you want to go bowling?
Scheme and this film that he was watching at the time. And that's not very often that you see a guy away from personal time or away from time with the team late at night watching film.
Yeah. I mean,
the guys work out late at night, but you don't see guys watching film and studying and finding ways. Like DJ said, you can tell he's definitely the quarterback out there, and you can see it. You can see him directing guys and putting them in the right position. And like DJ said, he is, I mean, you could call him the Holy Ghost of the Pelicans. He is the comforter. And and obviously this series is basically over.
Oh.
I mean, barring some sort of,
well, it's a huge hole to climb.
I mean,
out of
the Pacers would have, or not the Pacers, the Blazers would have to win basically both games
call
in
Hector
New Orleans.
Zeroni.
So good for Rondo. Good for the Pelicans, assuming they finish this series out. It was a good season for them. They'll have to play the Warriors after, but whatever.
Let's give some last love to Drew Holiday. I don't think we even mentioned him.
Dude,
he had a huge game
tonight. It's crazy.
33 points. 9 assists. I mean, and great defense. I mean, he was destroying them on the other end. Dame and CJ both had bad shooting nights. They combined to go 4 for 15 from 3-point land. I mean, he just – Drew's amazing.
I love him.
Let's discuss. Top 5 player in the league. Let's discuss. He's been – I wanted to go back to him. I'm sorry. He's blown me away these playoffs. And my last thought, what if they hadn't traded Boogie at all? Just take this current
traded
team, if they hadn't gotten Boogie at all. Let's imagine this team with Buddy Hield and Tyreke Evans. Whoa. Oh, boy. Jeez. Woo. If you could ask them right now who they want to be on their team for the next couple rounds, would they say Boogie or Buddy and Tyreke?
I would say Boogie.
Are we saying an injured Boogie or?
No. Boogie,
actual Boogie's
Boogie. Healthy.
Okay. Then I would take Boogie.
They would 100% take, but what?
I don't know, man. They're up. They're crushing them. Another good 3-point shooter. Tyreke was great off the bench for an off the bench score this year for the Grizzlies. They conveniently went on their
for
run
the Grizzlies. Oh, good. Yeah, good job, Tyreke.
Okay. All right. It doesn't slant. He's still playing the different teams. He's not playing the Grizzlies. That's one less bad team. I know. I would probably take Boogie too, but I think it's an interesting
saying.
Discussion to say. I just like look at. I mean, do they? I'm DeMarcus defender because I think too many people hate on him. Like, you don't drop 28 points and 10 rebounds a night and 5 assists without being some good player. Like, I know he has attitude issues, but he gets ripped on too Boogie? Much. But anyway,
okay.
Yeah, Boogie. Yeah, I still like Boogie, and I still definitely probably end up taking him. But I just think, like, I mean, is it in their long term interest to re-sign him to a fat contract this summer? I don't know. And that's just kind of what I wish we could see both sides of the coin. Like, what would they look like with Boogie right now? Because they were okay, but I don't even think they were in the playoffs when he went down. I think they were like the 10th.
They were like 500, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm not saying like that was Boogie's fault, because you really don't know. Schedules are a big part of that. Other players helped as well, but it's just interesting to see that, like, hey, they've been great. And if they have the choice to add like a fourth kind of starter to just hit threes, because Buddy's a phenomenal catch and shoot guy. That's really his only skill moving forward in the league. I think he's going to work on that. He's going to have to be contribute to a team watching him, but that's kind of what you need right here. You got the other guys providing, just let him shoot, let Tyreek come off the bench. I wouldn't do it, but it's something to say.
Well, something to bring up. Well, you know who else the Pelicans are missing?
Drew Brees. No,
Frank Jackson,
Utah's own.
That's true.
Get him in there.
He was shut down for the year. I mean, he's basically a first round pick. Utah's own. Give him some love.
I will. I like his Instagrams. That's love enough, mm-hmm. brother.
He's actually going to be there, Tyreek Evans. Guy that can come off the bench and get you 10, 15 points.
That's what I was assuming. Okay, so let's recap.
Hold on, last thing, DJ. Just, I don't know. I'm not ready to sign the death note right now for the Blazers, just because Damian Lillard can do what Damian Lillard does, and just every shot that goes up is going to go in. You know, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. like. Yeah, it seems like this is over to me right now, but I think I'm not ready yet to declare it over. I mean, obviously, you know, you just got to watch game three, but it's not crazy for me to see Damian Lillard just go crazy in game three, and then him and McCollum in game four just, you know, at least this series coming back to Portland for them to survive. I don't know. It's not the craziest thought.
Well, I think Dame and CJ play so well together that let's say they do lose the series in five or six or whatever. I think those two play so well together that you can't blow them up. But I think that if they lose this series,
it might be over.
There's a chance that they get rid of what's his name, Terry Stotts, because he's gone to the playoffs five straight years and made it out of the first round once.
Yeah.
Once, I think, when Dame hit that game winner against the Rockets.
No, he made it. He made it through in 2016 as well.
Okay,
that's right.
They lost
that's
the Warriors. Right. That, yeah, because
And then they lost the Warriors in the first round last year, right?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
But I think that. I mean, they have two really good players. Nurkic is okay. Mo Harkless is good. Aminu's good. I think they still need to add a piece or two, but. I mean, they're
capped out. They literally can't.
Which is why they need to get rid of a couple guys. But what I'm saying is, you don't blow the CJ Dame thing up. But I think there's a possibility that they get rid of their coach if they don't make it out of this series.
Wow, I haven't heard that at all. I from what I've understood, Terry's is very safe in the franchise.
Well, it's because they've played so well this year. No one expected this.
Yeah, I think that'd be a drastic move, but also I have no insider information.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying, Sam. Like, so take the Yankees, for example, the New York Yankees. Last year they made it to the ALCS, and Joe Girardi's been there. He's won World Series before, but they got a lot of talent. They made it to the ALCS. They canned him this year, you know? Like, at some point, coaches, I think front office has to kind of take control and be like, okay, this guy is our coach. We got all the recipe. We're getting to these places, but we're not getting over the hump. I see what you're saying. It's a very real possibility.
Well, that's might have been what happened with our team, with Utah State basketball. I mean,
breaking news.
Well, I'm not.
Watch yourself, Sam.
Saying a lot. No, I'm just saying that could have been the mindset that, hey, we still have some pieces. We're close. Maybe we just need.
Yeah,
to
sometimes
make that next step.
We think about a lot about players. Sometimes it's not maybe not be the players, maybe the right dude, you know, the right guy.
That's up, Samuel Lillard, right here.
Hey,
on the pod.
Speaking of Dame to Utah, let's go,
please.
He said before.
All right. He also said the Lakers in that same tweet. So. All right. All right. Let's finish up super quick.
We're gonna end right at 69 minutes.
Oh, that's a goal, baby. Okay, well, no, we're not going to get to that because I have something else I want to ask you. Yes. Okay, Houston, Minnesota. You say Houston?
Yep.
Oklahoma, Utah. Do we have a consensus here?
Go Jazz.
Jazz, please.
Yeah.
Jazz, please. Okay. We're unclear on that one. We think the Warriors will win, right?
Yep. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Okay. I mean, you got it. You got to give it to Pop. Blazers, Pelicans. I'm on the Pelicans train now. I don't think there's any way Blazers
can come back. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's hard to. That's a hard series to lose.
And we said Raptors, right? Yep. Over whoever they're playing. Don't even know. We stick with Cleveland over Indiana.
Yeah. Right now, yes.
We're okay. It's like innocent until proven guilty.
It's up,
like,
it's up for change. Yeah. Boston over Milwaukee, obviously. And you guys both said Miami, and I said Philly, right?
Yep. I'll admit, okay. Blake, that.
So we'll write Philly on that. I was going to
say, Blake,
okay,
I'll admit that is a little bit biased towards, you know, in light of everything that has happened. I don't know.
Well, I think the dumbest thing to say is I think it really opinions will get so changed by the next game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, because I love my 2 minute take. Like I love changing my mind every 12 seconds. It's great. I'm a goldfish. But I mean, what if Philly comes out and wins by 14? It's like, well, totally. But what if Miami comes out and wins by 14? It's like, well, I mean, it's just tough. I think that one's so hard to predict for me. Same thing with this Oklahoma Utah one. I think both series can go either way. The other six, I feel pretty confident
I'll put it this way for you, Blake. I will be more surprised if the Heat win that series than I will if the Sixers. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it.
More surprised?
Yeah, I'll be more surprised if the Heat win this thing than the Sixers.
I will also be more happy if the Heat win this series than the Sixers.
All right, where's the mute? Okay, last 30 seconds, gentlemen, is our new segment, one of our listeners' favorite segment. It's called I don't have a name for it yet. Which is going to be about conspiracy theories that I read online. Oh, cool. This is a short one. I like this short conspiracy. If it can fit into 140 characters on Twitter, I like to talk about it. Some dude said, and I'm not even going to go find it because I don't really care. He said, what if Snapchat was created by the government just to get all of our face details onto a big database? And so all this, you know, the horrible updates and all these things are them self-sabotaging themselves because they got all the information they need and they're getting rid of it.
Well, I've never taken a selfie, so I'm good.
You lost me.
That's okay. So Snapchat was created by the government, probably Richard Nixon, and it was used to get facial recognition of all citizens and many people they could and get into a database. Uh-huh. And now that they've gotten like most of the information they're going to get, all the new updates and changes to the platform that people have hated are them sabotaging the system because like we have all that we need. We don't want to upkeep this anymore. Let's shut it down by destroying ourselves.
But how many old people don't have Snapchat? So they wouldn't you think they would want to make it old people friendly?
Well, yeah. Then they talked to Apple and said, "Hey, get the iPhone 10 out there, baby." Yeah. Exactly.
So they're using the facial recognition. How? I'm lost.
I don't know what they're doing with it. Something involving the airport in Denver. Okay. Have you guys read that theory? Have you guys not read that theory?
No, enlighten me.
What?
I've not read it either.
Oh, DJ, you're a big conspiracy theorist guy, aren't you?
I like to learn about them. I'm not a believer by any means.
Okay. Oh yeah, I don't believe any of them. No, they're fun. Yeah, the only one I believe is the one I made up that Delaware is not real. But I'll tell you guys, that'll be a whole podcast.
I kind of agree with you on that one.
The conspiracy theory that I made up.
I've met zero people that know anyone from Delaware. Like,
see, yeah, I got some evidence to my case, but we'll finish with this. Okay, you need to go look up the Denver airport because it is positively creepy. It's apparently like the Illuminati home base where they're going to kill us all when the New World Order takes over. I've been there and it's like got all these murals, has these weird like plague doctor Hitler murals and this giant massive Mustang statue with like flaming eyes and a lot more stuff going on at the airport. Look it up.
Are you sure it's conspiracy theories about the Denver airport?
I didn't want to say a Bronco because I thought it'd be too obvious, but yeah, I don't know what's well, you know, I got to rip my Mount Crest things, dude. Come on. Read up on it. But the facial recognition, I don't know. They're doing something with the faces so they can identify us anytime and then send a drone to kill us from Amazon. I don't know.
Oh, just thinking about it. Okay. Just having everyone's face.
Yeah, having us in a database so they can. So they can then do anything.
And now Snapchat sucks because they've already have everything they need.
Exactly.
So now everyone's getting it. I got it. First time.
Thank you, Sam. You win.
Bro, these Nazis things are crazy.
Yeah, I had a layover there this summer for like 7 hours. So I just like got on my phone. It's like, I'm finding everything. It was just weird. Yeah. You should have been my Insta follower back then, even though I think you were. But I don't know. We'll get a name for this, because I think talk about conspiracy theories is fun.
Reason to hate the Denver Nuggets.
Just yet one more. They obviously and the Broncos. Created the airports.
Hey,
Nikola Jokic was out there putting those paintings in. I'll fight you,
Sam, if you're a Broncos fan.
No, I hate the Broncos. Okay. Hey, one last thing, DJ.
What's up?
Okay.
Our Angels got pounded tonight.
I'm not too worried, though, because it was going to happen. It was going to happen to Ohtani at some point. The Red Sox.
Well, Showtime got – no, you know Showtime got hurt,
he
right?
left. But, no, dude, I don't even trip, okay? The Red Sox are the hottest team in the AL. We'll worry about them in September, okay? What we need to focus on right now is we need to get Trout. We need to keep him healthy. And then we are fine. We're fine.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the pod today. We're going
to go Angels. Hey, wait, hold on. Who's your prediction for you think Ohtani will get MVP or Trout?
Of the team or of the league?
Of the league.
Can they do co-MVPs?
That's
the
what
team?
I want, dude. Let's go.
Along with Ian Kinsler.
Hey, I'm going to a game June 23rd.
Sick invite.
Well, do you want to fly out to California with me?
Yeah, I have to ask my future wife. Yeah, I was going to say. So probably not.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get Canyon on the pod. Would she want to come on?
I think she's asleep.
Hey, how about we do
Well, not right now.
No. She's here, but she's asleep.
How about we do a pod on the night of your wedding?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. If that can get me away from the reception.
We're coming
line
here then. Live from the Anniversary Inn.
That was inappropriate. I'm sorry, everyone.
All right. Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thanks, Sammy Moe, for jumping on. We'll have some more next week. We got Avengers Infinity War coming on, so we're going to have a good pod for
I'm
that.
Pumped.
And probably more playoff breakdown. We also got NFL drafts, so we'll have a lot of content. And we'll also have Sam back on within a few weeks to talk a little bit about his life as an athlete and his upcoming nuptials. You're all invited to the wedding, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. But thank you guys for listening to Big Baller Brunch.
Go Jazz.
Rave till dawn.
Go Sixers.